Comics.
Movies.
Music.
Video games.
Technology.
Blu-ray.
Television.
This is the HHW LOD Podcast Network.
Now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe, what's up?
Out Now is a film podcast as Abe and I discussing new movies weekly. We also bring a discussion about the latest movie trailers, box office results and predictions, a callback to past films similar to the main film of the week, games, and other fun stuff. This is episode 67, and the main episode of the week is Step Up Revolution 3D. Boom. Stranger Tides and Furious, all of that. And joining us to discuss what is maybe the second most anticipated movie of the year, we have stand-up comedian and regular guest on the video game podcast Weekend Confirmed, the man personally hard at work on a dance musical remake of GoldenEye, Christian Spicer.
Yay. Yeah, it's gonna be called Step Up to the GoldenEye, and it's gonna be pretty amazing. It stars Daniel Craig playing, Sean Connery, who is playing James Bond. So it's going to be pretty good.
And Sean Bean dies way, way sooner in this.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, yeah.
From dancing. Breakdance fighting.
Yes, of course. Well, is there any other type?
Great. Christian, great to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Okay, so a few announcements before we get underway with things. Hats off to Abe last week. We put out basically four episodes. Like, that's basically what happened last week. We put out a Comic-Con episode between Alan and I. We put out a Batman Forever commentary between Scott Mendelsohn, Jim Dietz, and Jordan and I. And we put out two Dark Knight Rises episodes. We, like, put out so much content last week, it's ridiculous. And Abe stayed up into many late hours to do all that. So thank you, Abe, for putting all that together for us.
It's for the good of the show.
Exactly.
Did you listen to them, Abe, before you put them out? Because I don't know if it's for the good of the show. I'm kidding.
I actually didn't. I just spitballed them out.
I can assure you.
It's done.
Our Dark Knight Rises episodes are pretty good. Like, this 4 hours of Dark Knight content, we just talked to Ever to death about that. But Christian, where'd you come down on Dark Knight Rises? I assume you saw it.
Yeah, I really liked it. I listened to some of your opus on it, and people thought that Christopher Nolan's film was too long, but yet you guys managed to out Nolan and talk longer.
That was our goal.
Yeah, that's our intention, actually. Yeah.
We're literally making The Dark Knight Rises better because listening to our podcast makes you think, well, man, I should watch The Dark Knight Rises again because that's way less exhausting than these five people talking about it.
Right.
Okay, let's see. iTunes reviews and ratings. Always good to get those. Helps out the show. Really simple to do. You log in, takes 5 seconds to put a star rating and even a sentence. That, you know, that's nothing. We actually got a few new ones lately, actually, which is awesome. So thank you for those. And let's see. No one had any pressing questions or emails about Step Up Revolution, so we can skip that part. So let's move on to Know Everybody, where each week we ask each other some questions and try to set the tone for the podcast to better get to know everybody. So I'm going to start this one. I'm going to just go shoot to Abe this week.
Okay.
What long-running movie franchise could use an entry that incorporates lots of dancing?
Simple. Scream. Hands down. Hands down. You're telling me that Wes Craven can't direct a dance movie?
I'd like to see Wes Craven direct a dance movie.
I'd actually think that actually, you know, spice up the series a little bit.
Spice up your life.
Like, I know you're kidding, but actually I could see that kind of working in the self-aware. And it'd be cool, like, the lights are all pulsing, and it's, like, cutaways between dance moves that are all, you know, like, frenetic, and then all of a sudden it cuts to one guy who should be doing something, and you just see his head go flying or something like that. Like, that could be cool.
It'd be neat, like a stage show, like Scream the Musical.
Yes, yeah.
Exactly.
Scream 3 the Musical. Let's just jump straight to that one.
It'd have to be like Scream 7 in space, the musical.
No one can hear you scream, but they can still see you dance.
All right, Christian.
Yes.
If you had an hour and 40 minutes to spend, would you spend it watching Step Up 3 or do anything else?
Wait, Step Up 3 or Step Up Revolution?
Step Up 3. I don't know how long Step Up 3 actually is, but I know Step Up Revolution is 1 hour and 40 minutes.
Okay. Well, seeing as how I haven't watched Step Up 3, because this is 4, right? Revolution
this,
is 4.
This is 4.
Yes, yes, 4.
Yeah, I have not watched 3, so the answer to your question is I would clearly do anything else, because that's what clearly what I've done at every opportunity that I had to watch Step Up 3. I can't.
That is the best answer.
I can't believe
it. Although I do hear very good things about Step Up 3.
I'm going to say right now, we watched Step Up 3 last night for the thing that we – the special thing that's coming soon involving Step Up, but – Step Up 3 is a fantastic movie. Like, it's the best of the franchise, in my opinion. And I say that wholeheartedly, like, endorsing this movie, because it's a really – it's a solid movie in terms of what it accomplishes.
So now that all of your listeners have quit listening because they realize you have no taste in movies and they discredited everything you say about The Dark Knight Rises. Yeah. How, that's like saying you ate your own poop and the last piece was pretty good. Come on. Okay, so fine, Aaron, for you.
Yes.
When did you start to hate your parents for no reason?
I see what you're getting off the question. Let's see. When?
For that teenage angstiness, because I feel like it's a theme in kind of all of the Step Ups, at least the ones I've seen, and certainly in this latest gem of a masterpiece. And like, you know, oh, I'm rebellious. I'm from the wrong side of the tracks. Well, I had a good life before, but now I hate my dad for no reason. Shut up.
The joke answer is after my bar mitzvah. The real answer the real answer is none. Never. Okay. Christian, if Batman did the Bat Tootsie, would he have been able to solve his problems in The Dark Knight Rises a lot more quicker or efficiently?
No, because I don't think Batman solved most of his problems in The Dark Knight Rises. I think they just were they were solved on their own. However, would a dance number have made The Dark Knight Rises better? No, because it was a good freaking movie. Quit trashing it. It was great. Hey, Abe, what would you do for $100,000?
I would say that you should go see Step Up 4 Revolutions in IMAX.
If you were going to get $100,000, you would purposely go instead. That's not a bad trade-off. I like that.
No, that's not a bad trade-off at all. Yeah.
Maybe like I'd marathon all four of them back to back for $100,000.
It sounds like you'd do that anyway.
That's asking a lot, Aaron.
It is. At this point, I probably wouldn't because I'm so exhausted of Step Up movies.
All right, Aaron, if Step Up 5 Gotham Knights happened, how awesome would that be?
If Step Up 5 Gotham Knights happened?
Yes.
So you're saying it'd be like an interconnected series of 5 stories or 6 stories that all involve stepping up in some fashion?
No, it's just the next in the series.
Oh, well,
Like Fast 5.
Well, it'd be called Step 5, if anything.
It'd be Step 5.
And it'd feature The Rock sweating and dancing throughout the movie.
Or would it be called Fuftep, and the S in Step would be the number 5?
Oh! Well, I was hoping this would be Step Up 40, so you could taste the sweat of the people dancing at you, but that didn't happen. I was hoping they would use Robert Rodriguez's 4D smell-o-vision to make that happen, but they didn't work out the way it did.
Everything just smells like sand.
Yeah. Yes. Sand and hat sweat. All right, so with that said, with those final words, that's how you play No, everybody. All right, so let's moving on. Let's get to a movie trailer talk where we talk about some of the latest movie trailers of the week. And so let's see. The first trailer, let's just go to the one we just watched. The first trailer we have is Cloud Atlas. This is what appears to be an epic story directed by the Wachowski brothers. Sorry, the Wachowski siblings. And Tom Tykwer, who is a Run Lola Run fame of other films. And this is what seems to be kind of a series. It's based off a book, a popular book, and it's a series of 6 stories that are all take span all sorts of time from early, 18th, 17th century up to, futuristic settings. And it involves a number of actors, including Tom Hanks, Halle Berry, Ben Whishaw, Susan Sarandon, Hugh Grant, Hugh Darcy, or it's like a lot of people, and Jim Broadbent and
Professor Slughorn.
Professor Slughorn, Jim Broadbent, and it's hard to describe what's going on in this movie, because honestly, I'm not even sure I know exactly what the story is. But a lot certainly seems to be happening, and it's exploring all sorts of times. And, you know, buzzwords pop up on screen eventually. Hugo Weaving, that's another one I was trying to think of. And, yeah, I'll just leave it at that. Christian, what did you think of this trailer?
So I know it has, like, good buzz, and a lot of people are super excited about it. And some of my friends want to go and read the book, and they think this movie's going to be beautiful and epic. And I could not be less excited for this movie based on both the long-form trailer and the trailer of all three directors talking. I'm not a Halle Berry fan. I've liked very little of her work. I'm not a big modern day Tom Hanks fan. And while I'm sure this movie will have a cohesive theme, and I think you can see what the through thread is, I just feel like it's not the most effective way to tell a story, to tell a visual story. It's probably a great book, but it just, I don't know, to me it seems like it falls flat. It's going to be too long. It's going to suffer from the same Wachowski sufferings as the second and third Matrix movies, of this overblown, overimportant, wanting to feel movie that is just ends up a mess. And I hope I'm wrong, but I have a feeling it's just going to fall. It's going to keep dying over and over again, much like it looks like the characters in the movie do.
Abe? Yeah, you stole the words right out of my mouth. It looks like a mess. And that's probably just because it has to span over these this course of, I don't know, X number of hundreds of years. It kind of reminds me of The Fountain, but I didn't see The Fountain. But well, the premise of The Fountain of, you know, just spanning years, these two characters. But I think in this one, it's like a plethora of characters. I'm not really that keen on it. I think one of the parts that was the best in the trailer was when the kid is playing the piano, and he's like, oh, that reminds me of something or whatever. I was like, that's a nice tune. But everything else was looked like a mess. Tom Hanks is Tom Hanks in it. But yeah, I'm not really a huge fan of Halle Berry either.
When the kid was playing the piano, did the old guy say, that reminds me of somebody that I used to know? And then Gautier popped up.
And then Gautier pops up, yeah. And he's like, you didn't have to cut me off, man. But yeah, overall, you know, maybe later they'll fine tune it a little bit. But for now, it doesn't look like something that I'm thrilled to go see.
I'll say this about it. It looks like one of the biggest flops that's going to come out this year. I can't imagine this movie making tons of money, and if it does, I'll eat these words. But this movie, given what it is and how difficult it is to sell to a mainstream audience, I will be impressed if it makes a lot of money. The movie itself, like, I like the Wachowski brothers. I don't mind them. I like Reloaded a lot, actually. But this movie, yeah, it does look like a mess. It looks like Southland Tales is one of the comparisons. Like, Richard Kelly's Southland Tales is follow up Donnie Darko, mm-hmm. which was also comparatively a mess and very overblown. Although I have like a weird soft spot for that movie just because of how out there it is, and that's kind of what I'm hoping this will be. I think I'm kind of hoping, even though I think it looks like it will be a mess, there'll be way too much going on and it'll be overblown. I kind of hope I have like a weird soft spot for it just because of certain visuals that are presented and certain characters that I maybe find myself connecting to or feeling like I want to follow their journey. I can agree about Halle Berry. I don't know why, but yeah, I have this weird like thing with Halle Berry where I just don't seem to like her anymore. But there are a lot of people in this cast that I do kind of like, and not necessarily Tom Hanks, although Tom Hanks, he's sporting a lot of different looks in this movie, including, I think I saw John Travolta from Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 in there at one point.
Yeah.
The trailer itself, yeah, I mean, there's so much going on, and it's really, you know, it's trying to, yeah, I can say that I saw what the through line is between all of them, but at the same time, it's like, so like, what is this movie about? But there are like a lot of little visual flourishes that I like, and that's kind of true to form for, I say, the Wachowski brothers and Tickler in just their directorial styles and what they can kind of bring to the table. So I'm hoping it's at least watchable. Like, I hope it's a pretty movie. That'd be nice to see. So,
I'm sure it will be. I mean, yeah. Just like Speed Racer.
I love Speed Racer. That movie's awesome.
I think it was eight.
I think Speed Racer was the best movie I've ever watched in five sittings. Yeah. Like, I never cared to watch it all the way through, but I'd watch it at like 2:30 in the morning over the course of a week, and I really enjoyed it. But I think it'd fall apart if you just sat down and watched it.
See, Abe, you'd just be raining on our Speed Racer parade. I went on one of on one of our commentaries where I think we just talk about Speed Racer.
I am so sorry.
Okay, so Cloud Atlas comes out October 26, 2012, and we'll see on that one. The next trailer we have is Life of Pi, and this is the new film from Ang Lee. I believe it's a new 3D film from Ang Lee, and I believe he filmed in 3D, and this is also based off of a popular book, and it's the story of an Indian boy named Pi, who he's the son of a zookeeper, I think I read once, and I guess he gets into a shipwreck, which leaves kind of him and some of the animals that, like, he's a zookeeper, so there's animals on the ship. It leaves him and some of these animals kind of stranded at sea, and he's sort of floating along on some of the wreckage, and there's a tiger, like, in the boat next to him, and I guess they kind of go on a journey through the Pacific Ocean. That's, I guess, the best way to sum it up. Abe, what did you think of this trailer?
It actually looks really visually stunning. I was actually surprised later in the trailer. The first part of the trailer kind of really didn't entice me. I did read the book on this one. And so I was actually kind of surprised by how, I guess, the color palette changed. Or I guess just there's some very bright colors in it. And I'm actually more excited about this one than after Cloud Atlas. And I think that's just because the story can be told a little bit better. There was actually a physical transformation on that main actor, too. It looks like he's got a lot skinnier toward the end of the trailer there, too. But I like Ang Lee's direction overall in his films, and so I can't really complain about that. I think that I just hope that it's a good adaptation of the book. But yeah, I'm excited.
Christian?
I haven't read the book, and I've watched this trailer several times. Both at theaters and at home, and while it looks beautiful, I have no clue what the heck this movie is about. Like, is this a metaphor for something, and the movie's going to be something different? There's this tiger. Why hasn't this tiger killed this kid yet? Like, that's unbelievable to me. I don't know. I feel like this is coming out, and I don't. It's like, hey, look, here's a movie that's going to win some Oscars for, something, cinematography, or
art direction.
Like, yeah, exactly. We're going to release it in the fall, and it probably has too high of a budget for what it will return.
Abe, is it like a is there a fantastical movie, or is it based in reality?
It's a little bit rooted in both worlds, because it's one of those stories about it's a journey of like self discovery. He is on this boat with the tiger, and then the tiger and he developed this conversation, and then it begins strangely at first, and then later you kind of just accept that he's able to communicate with this tiger. Not like on a—I can't remember if it's like on an allowed basis or if it's just through their thoughts. But it's actually an interesting story as it goes along. But it kind of reminds me what you said, Christian, about, you know, you're not really sure where it's coming from. It kind of reminds me of when I saw Hugo, and I wasn't really sure where that was coming from either, but that was actually one of my favorite movies of 2011. So I hope that that's kind of the same thing that goes on here, like in terms of the effects, or I guess the feeling that you have after leaving the theater. It's not fantastical of like, oh, wow, there's this tiger here, and we'll just go exploring like Calvin and Hobbes. A little bit more.
I'd watch that movie.
I would watch that movie in a heartbeat. But it's a little bit more, it's a little deeper than that. And it might be a little bit more melancholy than that.
Okay, so you brought up the Hugo thing, and now that single-handedly made me more intrigued in this movie, because I would say, yes, I had no idea what Hugo was going to be, and that turned out to be my favorite movie last year. So now I want to see this movie more just because you brought up a good example of something. But that said, watching this trailer, I really liked how the photography worked. I saw the trailer in 2D, yet I can completely see how Ang Lee's using his camera as in the realm of 3D, and that made me intrigued. Like, I could see... I think we've gone over this plenty. It's not like we need 3D in our movies, but I do appreciate when directors with, you know, that are certain directors with like a certain style or a way of, you know, fluidly filming things, like when they try to use something like that to their advantage. You know, seeing someone like Martin Scorsese or even Steven Spielberg, even though I wouldn't say Tintin's like the pinnacle of examples of 3D, but like seeing those, you know, higher class directors utilizing 3D technology, that's interesting to me. And I'm curious to see how Ang Lee is going to pull it off. And it looks like, based on just kind of the way the framings worked in the trailer, I'm curious to see that aspect of this film. The film in general, I was into just because I like the idea of like just tie a giant tiger next to this guy and he's floating on the sea, and like I can only hope that he, you know, befriends the tiger at some point and they go on adventures together. But I was into it. I'm curious to see this movie when it comes out, more so than Cloud Atlas, I get, in terms of strangely ambitious movies about life in some way. Like, I liked where this one was going.
I feel like 3D for a lot of these people now, like this, you know, the prestigious director, the acclaimed director, I'm curious to see how much they'll keep using it versus, you know, they've been pretty much using what the tools they've been using now for a number of years, and it's just a new challenge, and they just want to go play with a toy. And, you know, after they do that, I wonder if they'll walk away from it like, yeah, that was worthwhile. That added to my movie. I'm going to keep working with this technology. Or they'll just be like, well, I did my 3D movie. Now I can't wait to do my, you know, all shot on a 5D movie or something like that. And they're just kind of in it for the challenge.
See, that's something I like about these who are certain, you know, older directors, some like Scorsese or Ridley Scott, where they're like, why not do this? Why don't I give myself a challenge as opposed to kind of not necessarily phoning it in, but just doing it the same way they've been doing things? I like the idea of that. Not only are they trying to make films that they hope will reach an audience, but they're utilizing the latest technology, or like, you know, trying to give themselves a challenge. Like, I like that idea. And so I'm curious to see if Ang Lee can pull that off. And you know, Scorsese, he does plan to do his next movie in 3D. And so it was Ridley Scott. Like, they said that they're really into utilizing that format, and they want to continue doing that. So let's see. Life of Pi comes out November 21st, 2012. And yeah, so right in time for Thanksgiving. So, all right, so that's going to do it for trailer talk. So that means we can get into our discussion about Step Up Revolution.
Whoever you guys are, we love you.
You dance?
Don't you know how this works? I hold a drink in my hand, you dance around me, make me look good. Doing tomorrow night? Didn't you ever want to be a part of something different? Something special? The mob is our way to shout. It's like us saying, listen up. We exist.
I want in.
She dances very well. What a gringa.
She's dancing lead. Consider it your initiation.
Their videos quickly going viral. These local dancers are turning into something of a cultural phenomenon.
20,000 hits in under 5 hours.
Ever hear of Anderson Global Properties?
I plan to start construction on the greatest hotel Miami has ever seen.
He's buying the whole strip. Our homes, our jobs, all gone.
We need to stop him. Enough with performance art. It's time for protest art. We can change things.
All right, so that should have been some of the trailer for Step Up Revolution. And, yeah, okay, how does this movie play out? She's a small-time girl living in a lonely world, hoping to catch the midnight train to professional dance academy, despite her real estate tycoon father not approving. He's just a city boy, born and raised in South Miami, and a member of the mob, a flash mob group that emerges around town and has videos shot of them to raise awareness through their YouTube page. The two of them meet and form a relationship, and of course, once evil Peter Gallagher threatens the part of Miami where the mob is from, the group decides to do protest dance to stop him. Christian Spicer, what did you think of Step Up Revolution?
How much am I allowed to swear right now? Like, is there a limit in the number of curse words I can string together?
If it's all in a line, I think that that's okay, because then I can just silence all of it.
So I apologize for the next 4 minutes of silence. This movie, I understand guilty pleasures. You know what I mean? I get it. This movie is a total piece of crap. Anyone that paid money to see this movie, I am so sorry. Don't pay money to see this. If you must watch it, torrent it, because you should screw them over the same way the filmmakers screwed you over. Wait for it to come out on HBO or ABC Family, where it will run in perpetuity, and Amanda, what's her name, the writer, will continue to make money on this piece of crap that she delivered. I want to read this script. I bet it's 20 pages long. And in between that, it just says dance scene. And go watch the dance scenes on YouTube. The dance scenes are pretty cool, but overly cut. Like, let these dancers dance instead of, I don't need action movie cutaways from everything. There are so many problems in this movie in terms of the script, the if you want to actually look at what happens and how it unfolds. And then there are just simple problems, like the last dance is between, you know, not to spoil things, but there's a last dance. And it takes place during sunset in Miami, except only like 1/8 of the dance takes place during sunset. The rest of it is at high noon. Then there's some at twilight. And then it ends with them kissing as the sun goes down. And then they all celebrate, and it's the middle of the freaking day again. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This movie is trash. I feel bad that there were 11 other people in the theater, and at least 9 of them paid to see it. Ew. I could go on, but I feel like someone else will say something nice about this movie.
We'll totally go on, yeah.
Blow a gasket.
You know, I actually thought that this movie was mildly entertaining.
Shut
I didn't
up.
Think it was... Now, I will say that, yes, the dialogue is complete trash, and the idea behind it is complete trash. But I think that there was a, like, the dance elements, I did enjoy those. I do agree that there are a lot of cutaways, and there's actually a lot of, like, fast-forwarding that makes it look a lot cooler, or there's a lot of slow motion that makes it a lot cooler than it actually would be, or however long he might do a freeze for, whatever else. But beyond that, I did like the choreography in those. Some of the, you know, more modern-day dancing from, I forgot the lead actress's character's name. I think it's like Lisa or Elizabeth, I can't remember. But
Emily,
my bad. But I think that was aight. I'm not too keen on modern dance performances. But I think that the problem of the movie is that it wants to have a problem, and that's mainly from Peter Gallagher. And I think that the YouTube challenge itself was actually an okay concept if they had just all of a sudden built up to this giant dance-off, breakdance-off.
It doesn't – I'm sorry. I can't. It doesn't make sense. So this YouTube challenge, they're competing to be the first team or first channel to get 10 million views because then they win $100,000. And then you see their garage where they work out in the movie, and they've clearly spent at least $1 million. They have custom speakers built into the walls, like 800 Mac Pros. They don't need the money.
All the equipment that they use, and also all the choreography that they have done, and how they actually get into really fine restaurants and stuff like that too. It's just it seems as though they have more than enough money. But aside from that, you know, again, if they had focused on that problem, which actually wilts away toward the end of the movie due to certain reasons, it's just more of like, you know, it becomes a tale of please don't because I love him kind of thing, and that I wasn't too big on. But other than that, you know, again, the dance numbers themselves are pretty cool. But beyond that, I mean, I think that the acting is just not that great. Again, lines and the script are not that strong either. I wasn't expecting them to be, but at the same time, I think I could have done with maybe not so much cheesy stuff in it.
As a person who's watched these Step Up films, I don't know why. They're not like necessarily like good, with the exception of Step Up 3. But they are there. There's an entertaining aspect to a lot of them, and I do appreciate like the dances in them. As someone that's watched these movies and has like a weird like weakness for watching them and somewhat enjoying them, Step Up Revolution was a pretty big disappointment. And I say that in seriousness because 2 years ago when Step Up 3D came out, I went to see that movie because me and my friends were intending on like just having like a good time kind of making fun of it but like also like appreciating at least the dances. But that movie ended up being like way better than we ever expected it to be. So going into this movie, I was like, all right, well, at least this will probably be fun to some in some degree. But it wasn't. It's like the dances, as Christian mentioned, they're way overly edited. So like I can't get a full handle on like how well they're being put together because they're like it's so chopped up and so edited it like feels bad. It's not good dance direction, as opposed to something like Step Up 3, where I constantly equate it as the dance sequences as like action sequences, but in like a dance movie. And like for example, to expand further on that, the director of Step Up 2 and Step Up 3 is John M. Chu. He is now doing G.I. Joe Retaliation. Now, obviously, there's been some problems with that because that movie didn't come out this summer as it was intended to. However, yeah, which is upsetting. We are all looking forward to that one to an extent. But that said, I was looking forward to that just because I know he can handle action scenes because he did really well. His dance sequences were really well constructed. You could see everything that's going on. The camera visually was – it was in the right place. It just made sense to me. It was really fluid, and it made the dances very watchable. This movie has a new director, Scott Speer, I guess, who I'd imagine is a good choreographer or something, but his visual style in this movie does not work. It's like – you have these really interesting dances. Like, there's one in an art museum that's really interesting. There's one in a restaurant that's like one of my favorite ones in this movie. But they'd be so much better if they were cut together a lot better. It just doesn't work. It's just like everything. It doesn't mesh together well enough where I can get a full like appreciation for the dances that are being shown. Along with that, there's the rest of the movie, which is a chore to get through. The scenes between the dances. It's a chore. It's like, oh my god, like, it's not like I'm expecting to see like a great story and characters. I'm not going to that. My expectations are in the right place for this movie. That said, this felt like especially lazy to get through these scenes between like Emily's problems with her father and trying to get into dance academy and what's his name, guy with stubble on his face that pulls it off the whole time, Sean, who his own troubles of, I guess, wanting the mob to go public, and his friends with managing the YouTube page. Like, all this stuff is just so, and the romance between them, all this stuff is just such a chore to get through. I just don't care about it. It's so irritating to watch this stuff and not see more dances, which there seem to be less of compared to Step Up 3, which is like constantly dance, there's constantly things happening in that movie. So yeah, I was massively disappointed with Step Up Revolution overall.
The one group of people that I would recommend seeing this movie are 11 to almost 13-year-olds that don't have access to the internet alone yet, and they want something to go make their privates feel tingly, because the male lead and female lead in this are incredibly attractive.
Oh, yeah.
And they're half naked all the time, and they're kind of having sex while they dance. Like, if that's what you want to go see, and you can't just internet people really having sex, then this movie's maybe worth, you know, tricking your parents into taking you to see in the theaters.
Plus they get the new Twilight trailer.
Right, yeah, exactly. So it's worth it. There you go. And the dances, though, like, I understand. So Dark Knight Rises, there's a plane that can fly, right? The bat. Suspension of disbelief, it exists in that world. I get it. In this world, my suspension of disbelief doesn't go. So, spoiler, if you want to see this movie, they sneak into a museum and disguise themselves as the artwork and then come out of it and dance. The problem is, as soon as they replaced the people in front of the paintings, it's clear there's a freaking person standing in front of that painting. And it's like, there's no way these people wouldn't notice that. Or what did they do with the statues? I know how we're going to get in, camouflage. And then, because there are these statues that look like people. But yet they never explain how they went in and removed the real statues and replaced them with these dance people. And then the biggest dance problem is they dance to protest. The first protest dance maybe makes sense. It ends with a big protest dance. And they walk over and they're like, yo, we got something to say. And then they dance, and their dance has nothing to say. It's just a dance. And then, like, now I hope you reconsider. It's like, reconsider what? And the places
where the mayor was dancing with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. Every cutaway to the mayor was maybe the funniest movie part of the movie. Every time they cut away, it got funnier and funnier.
It was ridiculous.
Did either of you pay to see this movie?
I paid to see this movie.
I did. So I didn't watch it in 3D, though.
I saw it in 3D. The 3D's it's fine. Like, it's shot in 3D. Like, it works. I mean, it's not for what this movie is. Like, it works. It utilizes the 3D well, I guess. Not as well.
Like,
as
guys run at the camera and point at it when, like, every dance seemed to have one guy that would run and point at the camera.
Yeah.
I should do that post credit sequence too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like,
no, the post credit sequence was Nick Fury walking up to the camera and recruiting one of the Avengers to be one of the dancers to be part of the Avengers.
And one question for both of you guys. Towards the end of the movie, there's this character, Moose, that talks to the mayor. Was Moose cut out of the movie? Is he supposed to be a bigger character? Because in the billboard in L.A., he's front and center in one of the billboards.
Moose, I wondered about that, too.
Moose is in the second and third movie, and so it's he somewhat connects this movie to the other movies. There's, like, three characters total in this movie that connect this to the previous movie, and, yeah.
So it was a fun cameo to get all the previous guys all jacked up.
Exactly.
Okay.
No room for Channing Tatum, but Moose was there.
Channing Tatum was doing his other movie, which I'll get to. But yeah, I do agree that there was actually more narrative than there had to be. And
way more narrative than there had to be.
Yeah, I mean, I could have done without all that too. And I don't think that there was actually that. I think there's only like four major dance numbers, right? The cars, the art house, the restaurant, and then the dance off at the end.
Well, there's one. Well, there's the first, like the
first, the opening.
Yeah, the turn at the banquet or whatever, like the evil dance.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that one. That one was just, yeah, that was terrible.
Go ahead.
There's like the dance like stuff in between of just them kind of practicing things. Like there's I wouldn't say that there's a lot of that or enough of that for me to justify. Oh yeah, well they have plot too, but there. I mean, there's dancing. There's certainly a lot of dancing in this movie.
There is. Yes, I'm not gonna deny that, but I'm pretty sure that there was more choreographed dancing in the other two movies, I'm sure.
Not in the other two. I'll say in Step Up 3 there is. Not the two movies because we were going over this the other day. Yeah, there's a lot of boring stuff going on in between, although you do have something like Channing Tatum in the first movie to make his presence or to do his thing in that movie, which I can see why people would appreciate that movie more than the others, even though I appreciate 3 the most. Or like in the third one, or the second one, There's things going on in the other two movies that make it more less of a chore to watch than there are in this movie. I'll say that. Besides dancing.
Okay. Besides dancing. Yeah. But in this one, you know, they're trying to make you feel like it's more of a movie than it is just a bunch of dances, and that I think that they should have just cut all that out. I really could have known without any of that, you know, father-daughter drama. Even the whole entire like, you're my bro.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Let's not be like mad at each other. It's like, okay.
That was the worst character, the Eddie character. That guy.
Yeah. The only thing I want you to hit from now on is this. And he holds up his fist and
he's like, I got a surprise for you. And everybody's in the back. He's like, dude, weren't you facing that way talking to him? And did you see everybody just standing there? The other thing I had a problem with was, like, there's actually a really funny – it's not actually intended to be funny, but we just all started laughing in the theater when they're, like – when they find out who that Emily's father is. And it's like, that's the asshole who fired me. And everyone just starts laughing because that line comes out of nowhere and has no relevancy whatsoever.
Yeah, and you don't feel sympathetic for them. Like, he shows up, he gets fired because it's, like, the dad, Emily's dad, supposed to be, like, this strict hardliner guy. But honestly – he seems like a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It sucks that he's redeveloping in this area where these nice people live, but also I bet in real life that area is filled with crime and it's not filled with nice people. It's like a dirty wharf.
That's Gotham. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like Skid Row and no one wants to live there. And this guy's going to come. He's from Cleveland, by the way. So he's not like some New York like douchebag. Like everyone in Cleveland is nice. You know what I mean? Like he's a nice, hardworking. His wife left him for some poor reason. Him and his daughter are against the world. And he wants to make Miami a better place.
Like say anything.
Yeah, it's just you don't get like. And then this guy, the friend, shows up to a mandatory work meeting like 25 minutes late.
With his shirt, shirt out. His tie barely done. He's wearing his hat. I think probably. I don't know.
And he gets fired. And then he's like, "Oh, my alarm is messing up, bro." Like a stupid excuse. And then is all pissy that he got fired. Yeah, you have a job. You got fired. You showed up late. Congratulations. Yeah. Welcome to being an adult.
He's not like, I've been working here for over a year. What the heck?
Yeah.
What does that have to do with anything, man?
Yeah, and like my question to you, Aaron.
Show up.
Yeah, yeah.
About like hating your dad or whatever, or your parents. Yeah. Like, I understand that teenagers and people, like children grow away from their parents, but they never kind of give you a strong reason. It's like, oh, he didn't believe in my dance, so now I hate him. But he clearly never watched her dance, because after he watches her dance once, he believes in her. So it's just like, really?
Yeah. Well, he was too busy developing. And she was too busy, like, having to go to college because he told her to.
Yeah, like, that's terrible. And Peter Gallagher's eyebrows need a lot of grooming, so it's hard for him to, like, get away to watch dances when he has to deal with those things. And I love Peter Gallagher's eyebrows. I love the fact that Peter Gallagher's in this movie, by the way. That made me anticipate it more when it was initially coming out. Like, why is Peter Gallagher in Step Up 4? Why not, is the answer to that question. But
yeah, why not?
Getting back to another thing, Christian, you brought about the art museum thing and how they all, like, elaborately staged everything. Clearly, they were able to, you know, move the statues and everything because they showed us a quick montage of them, like, looking at a map and drawing circles around it. Like, that was the planning stages for this dance. That's all you needed, right? But, yeah, them setting up these various flash mob routines, which are, like, they're creative. I mean, despite the fact that they're chopped to hell in the editing, I like the idea that they have all these different people involved, like the parkour expert, the effects expert, like this weird, like, put the names on screen and show what their job is.
They're actually, like, freeze-framed, and they have, like, different color palettes, too. That was pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah, the artist guy, like,
who never talks.
Who never talks, exactly. All that stuff's like, some of that's, like, kind of entertaining. I was like, all right, well, at least this stuff's, like, so, like, ridiculous I can kind of get into. But, yeah, overall, the movie just, it's such a, there's so much needless story going on here. And, yeah, to get to the Occupy Miami movement that's going on in this movie, that stuff's unnecessary. Like, it doesn't do anything. Like, they don't, nothing is said. Like, I'm not expecting to have so much, like, social commentary by Step Up
movies. Come on, bro. The Dark Knight Rises isn't the only movie that can have social commentary in a blockbuster.
This movie, like, does it so haphazardly. It doesn't even, like, do much with it. It has, like, the first dance, which, like, makes sense. And it's like, all right, that's kind of neat. And then, yeah, it has the final dance, which means nothing. And then, at the very end of the movie, spoilers, they completely, like, reverse their stance on it. They're like, oh, guys, Nike's picking us up. Let's submit to corporate greed. Let's do it. Like,
where do I sign?
Like, they just give up on everything.
Even the redevelopment, like, the guy witnesses this dance, right?
Yeah.
And then he says, oh God, what is it? Oh, now the Sean or whatever, it's like, we know we can't stop you from developing, but we just wanted to let you see what you'd be destroying. What? Kids from out of town that flew here to dance? Cause they're not all locals. And then he's like, you're right. You know what? Maybe I can develop this place in a way that preserves some of the local character. And then they're like, yeah, deal. It's like, wait.
What?
he was maybe going to do that in the first place.
Let me ditch out of the millions of dollars I've spent developing this plan with the many different investors that are probably planning on building buildings here because I saw our dance routine. Like,
that's what I'm saying. He's from Cleveland. This is a nice guy. Anderson Development or whatever. He's a good guy. And there's a question. Who is the mob? Maybe the people's faces that they show in every video in this South Beach most popular DJ that is always there. DJ. And why is she live mixing every dance?
Fans are going to love this next story.
I've just seen this video, and all I can tell you is in one word, amazing.
I've never seen anything like this before.
The video was posted to YouTube and has quickly gone viral, thrusting these mysterious artists into the spotlight.
Quickly becoming an internet sensation.
And before we announce the winner, have you guys seen this viral video by The Mob? It's huge!
Another developing story we're following today.
And it seems to be picking up steam.
Okay, everyone is talking about this, so I have to bring it up. Who knows about The Mob?
This rogue Miami flash mob is stirring up all kinds of trouble.
Well, a lot of celebrities are tweeting this week about The Mob.
Have you seen this video about these kids in Miami?
I'll say one thing that makes sense in any language, the art of dance.
9 million hits.
Because she has to,
she's the best DJ in Miami.
She's
track and play it off your iPod. You know what I mean?
She's adaptable.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I wondered about that too. I was like, yeah, I was like, why does she have to live mix everything? Like, doesn't it just give away who she is, or, like, can't somebody just capture her?
That's
the other thing I had a problem with
part of the flash mob routine. I say with doing art on the spot. I mean, you gotta.
Yeah. I feel like both of those could have led to something cool. Like, if she was live mixing on the spot, but then the cops showed up and chased her out, so, like, the music got messed up, and then the dancers had to, like, you know,
yeah,
adjust on the fly.
There was never conflict in this movie. There's the one, the bad dance that gets people in trouble. There's never, like, there's no stakes to the fact. The idea of the flash mob having to, you know, secretly, like, emerge, because it's the flash mob, that's what they do. The idea that they have to make these elaborate dances and, like, secretly emerge out of nowhere and suddenly have everybody's attention. There's never any stakes to that. There's never any, like, last minute, like, oh no, I don't know if I'm going to get this done in time before the dance starts. There's never any, like, tension as to whether or not they're going to be able to successfully perform these dances, which could have added something to the movie.
Or weld an 18-foot statue.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a dance movie. It's not really very good.
Don't say that,
Abe. That's not fair.
Footloose is a dance movie. The Footloose remake is a dance movie.
True. Okay. And those are this both is a movie about a bunch of kids trying to make a statement, which they clearly have not gone to school for, because they're not making the right statement. So,
but there are good ways to make this movie. There's ways that this movie can be good, and it's not. There are other dance movies that are good that this one pales in comparison to. So I can't say, like, you can't throw it away and say it's just a dance movie, because there's ways to do this that work better.
Even Moulin Rouge is a dance movie. I mean, they sing their own songs too, but the choreography in that, some of those scenes, is amazing. And I love that movie. I like the whole red carpet or red curtain trilogy.
Have you seen that yet, Aaron?
It's on my list. And okay. I will see it before Great Gatsby comes out, because I do want to see it, and I think I probably will like it. I just never got around to seeing it.
Yeah, it's good. It's well done.
Yeah. If I see it on Amazon, because I know it's on Blu-ray now, so I'll probably get it that way. Just do it. Just blind buy it. All right, we got very fiery over Step Up Revolution, almost as much as The Dark Knight Rises, well, some of us, in terms of arguing back and forth with each other about the movie. So, I think we've reached our point of, I don't think we have anything else to say about Step Up Revolution for now, so let's get to our movie, our rating. Each week
In summary, I would give Step Up Revolution 5 out of 5.
Okay. Okay, so each week on Out Now, we try to rate the movies based on when you should go and see them. So we have a scale that goes from IMAX to theater, Dollar Theater, Netflix, HBO, TV, or just kind of forget about it. Christian, where would you put Step Up Revolution on that scale?
In the background when you're making out or getting it on with someone that you're sexually attracted to, because that's the only way this movie will be good, because you'll associate it with something else in your life that is good. Otherwise, skip it. There are so many hours of excellent media out there that if you waste any time on this movie consciously watching it, you've wasted that time.
Abe.
Yeah, I'd say like an HBO thing where it's if it's just playing, yeah, you might plop down to see the dance steps and then step away when they're not doing any dancing, and then come back to it here and there. So it's really not too great of a movie to see in theaters, because there's probably a lot of stuff out there. If you have exhausted all of your options of seeing Dark Knight Rises, maybe even The Watch, Magic Mike, everything else like that, you might see Step Up. But other than that, yeah, HBO.
Yeah, I'd say TV on this one. If it's on ABC Family, as Christian said, then that's
ABC Family.
On ABC Family HD, then that's a, right. That's a place where you can settle down and watch people bungee jump at you. All right, so that's our rating for Step Up. Let's get to our movie callback.
Callback.
Now, this is where we discuss a few films that kind of relate in some way to the main film of the week that we thought of during or after the fact. So, Christian, any movies that you thought of in relation to Step Up Revolution?
Yeah, it's sad. It is. It was things because, you know, going into this movie and knowing we were going to talk about it, and then being so disappointed by it, it did remind me of, you know, Moulin Rouge or Footloose or movies where dance and even just silliness, like bubblegum movies are fine, you know, that pulled it off. And the biggest one I feel like is the remake to Footloose, which a lot of people panned and as unnecessary, which I don't necessarily disagree with, but it was done really well.
I agree. I like that movie as well.
It opened strong and sets its own tone. It's going to be its own movie. And it incorporates dance and everything in a way that still tells a powerful story. So it was films like that. I kept thinking of, like, it's sad, but I kept thinking of things like, if the DJ got in trouble, you know, how could this movie be good? Because there's nothing wrong with dancing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So those were the thoughts that I kept having.
Cool. Yeah, and I agree. I like the Footloose remake. It did a better angry dance sequence than the original did.
Angrier than Billy Elliot?
That's a good movie, too. Boom! Yeah, Billy Elliot!
Like that movie a lot. I actually thought of Magic Mike, and primarily because Channing Tatum was in Step Up 1.
Yeah.
I guess the original Step Up. And that actually has a better narrative because it has more of a clash of ideas and conflict. While actually having some really cool dance sequences from Channing Tatum, minus the stripping, but, you know, he's actually a really talented dancer, as we've discussed before. The other movie I thought of was, it seemed like it reminded me of some of the Fast and Furious movies, because they're planning all these heists and everything else with a bunch of red X's on the maps, like you had pointed out, which proves nothing, but it just seemed like they were just pulling off all these heists, like in, I guess, Fast and the Furious, with Dominic Toretto, but there was no Dominic Toretto or The Rock.
I'm going to take this one further. This is something I wrote in my review, but Fast and the Furious is kind of the franchise I could easily equate the Step Up franchise with. The first film in both series kind of set the stage. They kind of make it, you know, they make it what it is. The second film, Too Fast and Furious and Step Up to the Streets, are both, like, ridiculous, but, like, weirdly entertaining. This is only my own personal opinion. Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, arguably, before Fast 5, was the best of that series. Same with Step Up 3D. And now Fast and Furious and Step Up Revolution, I would say, are the worst, the least of the series, the worst ones. So I can only hope that Step 5, which features The Rock and Channing Tatum Returns, will be, you know, the best of the franchise.
Snap, it's on.
I set that challenge out to Step Up, I guess. But, the Fast and Furious franchise was kind of my main thought that I had, because I was so bored watching the story of this movie. I was trying to think of other things to do. Dark Knight Rises, too, just because the Occupy thing. I was like, God, 2 weeks in a row with this. And Step Up 3D, just because that movie's just so superior to this one, which, you know, led to me being disappointed in how much of a step down this was.
Heyo!
Boom!
Yep, went there, guys. All right, let's get to our box office talk. We try to go over the box office and see if our previous week's predictions were anywhere close to what this turned out to be. So, Abe, do you recall what you said last week?
I know I said fourth, but I can't remember the dollar amount.
You said
I think
16.
16?
Yeah, okay. 16. Adam Gentry said second with $20 million. I said third with $17 million. Mark said third with $15 million. Abe, you got the placement correct, but you're off on the number. It actually opened the weakest of the four movies with $11 million overall.
Oh, wow. 11.
11, wow. Yeah.
Quite low.
It's quite low, and you know, I don't care because we didn't like the movie.
Yeah.
But, The Dark Knight Rises continues to make money because that's what it's going to do. So it made $64 million this week. So it's at, like, almost at $300 million, and it's like the third fastest to reach this amount of all time, where it's at $289 million right now. Ice Age is number two. The Watch opened at number three with $13 million. Step Up right behind at number four. Ted making a lot of money. You know, funny thing.
Still hanging on.
Ted's hanging on, and not only is Ted hanging on, but Ted placed higher than Spider-Man this weekend, and, you know, Ted came out before Spider-Man, so I find that a little bit interesting. Ted's basically doing a Hangover money, essentially. It's going to cross 200. It's going to be one of the biggest R-rated movies of all time.
Wow.
Spicer, have you seen Ted?
I have not. I'm interested in it, but movies like that I generally don't see in theaters because I don't think they need a big screen.
Understandable. I would say this. Ted is it was one of my surprises of the summer because I'm not like a big Family Guy fan necessarily, but so walking into that I was expecting like Family Guy the movie, but it had a lot of heart that I appreciated. So I was surprised how much I enjoyed that movie.
A lot of heart, Wahlberg.
A lot of heart Wahlberg. But yeah, it's not mean. That's what I liked about Ted. Brave, Magic Mike making a lot of. Magic Mike's one of the biggest successes of the summer compared to budget.
Is that rounding out the top 10, Magic Mike?
It's a number eight. Yeah. Savage is still making money as well, doing decent for an R-rated hardcore movie like this. And then Moonrise Kingdom actually rounds out the top 10.
All right.
Good for Moonrise Kingdom. Moonrise
Kingdom. Yeah, good for them. Yeah.
And so that's the box office. Let's I think I know what time it is.
I think I do too. Christian, do you know what time it is?
Yes. I just looked at my watch.
Time for games.
Game time.
Wow. You really stepped up on that one.
I actually brought in the DJ from Step Up Revolution to compose that video. And now she's leaving. I'm paying her $10 as I agreed. Bye. Okay, close the door. Thank you. All right, so yeah, let's do some games. I got an old game that Abe, you are generally good at. It's called Alternative Movie Titles.
All right.
Okay, so, Christian, the way this game works is I have written down several alternate movie titles. So, like, if I were to say something like Arachnid Boy, you would say?
Arachnophobia.
You would say Spider-Man.
Ah.
So I have a number of these written down, and basically it becomes down to you two, which one can get the movie first, and we tend to do best of three, but I will warn you, Abe is pretty good at this game. So we'll see who can do better on this.
That's very flattering, but Christian, please keep in mind that this is probably the only game that I'm actually good at on our show.
Okay, so I'm gonna read one out, and whoever gets it first gets it. And some of these are harder, some of these are easier, but I never really know which one's which. So let's see. Here we go. Here's the first one. The Royal Nation.
Spider-Man.
The Royal Nation of the Divine Land. That's a harder one, actually.
7 years in Tibet?
Not quite.
I heard a mouse click. Are you Googling it, Abe?
No, that's me. That's me.
No, not yeah.
I'm scrolling.
Yeah. Last King of Scotland?
No. I'm going to give it up, unless you want to think about it more.
Nah, I'm good.
Okay. Kingdom of Heaven.
Oh, tip of my tongue.
Okay. All right, here's the next one. Extremely close to being incredibly popular.
This just lets me know that I should never
play.
Almost Famous is correct.
I should never play those games on NPR with, like, the New York Times Puzzle Master.
Tell me?
Yeah. Ooh.
All right, here's the next one. This one might be easier. Darkened Bird, no longer in flight. This shares a commonality with one of the other films we just did.
Something about a raven falling.
The Crow. The Crow Rebirth or something. Stupid.
Black Hawk Down.
Oh, son of a gun.
Ah, yes.
Ridley Scott. Kingdom of Heaven. Okay, here we go. The entire amount of 27 feet. You could equate 27 feet to something.
The whole nine.
The whole 9 yards.
Yeah.
Is that two, Abe?
I think that is, yes.
Okay. I'll just do the last one, actually. I'll just do this last one. Okay. The temperature is about to burst. This is such a random movie, too. The temperature is about to burst.
The full Monty.
Doesn't even make too much sense, actually, as an alternative movie. I'm just going to say it. The Mercury Rising is the one I was going for there.
Oh, okay.
I'm so good at this, guys.
It's sometimes it's tougher, sometimes it's easier for me.
They've gotten progressively harder.
Because Abe kept getting good at it, so now I have to make them really hard. Okay, let's do it. That's alternate movie titles. Let's do another game. Let's do the ABCs of movies.
All right.
Because we did horrible at that game last week. Okay, this game... This game is a little simpler. All we have to do is you name a movie corresponding to the letter of the alphabet you are on. So we go like in the order of A, B, C, and you name a movie that starts with A, and then the next person names a movie that starts with B, and so on. You get it?
Got it.
Okay. And the key is you cannot use movies that start with the unless you're on the letter T.
Ooh.
That's one of the tricky parts of this game. Okay, so we will go in alphabetical order, as always. So I will start, then Abe, and then Christian.
Okay.
All right. So I'll start now. Airplane.
Braveheart.
Catwoman.
Dog Day Afternoon.
Ever After.
I'm on F.
Yeah.
Fast Five.
Ghost.
I'm on H.
Yes.
Hellraiser.
Inception.
Jurassic Park.
Kangaroo Jack.
Nice.
L. Letters to Iwo Jima.
Okay. Mercury Rising.
Night Watch.
I'm not good at this game. I know I'm supposed to be doing it quickly, but Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Nice. P2. P2. That's a movie.
P2, okay. Q for... I don't know.
You're out!
Quincy Adams. Yeah.
Christian on Q.
Oh, I'm on Q? Quinception. It's the sequel to Inception.
All right, that's it. I win this one. Quantum of Solace is a movie that starts with Q.
It's not like James Bond Quantum of Solace?
It's never called James Bond anything.
Okay. All right, that shows you that I'm not a follower.
It's not called James Bond Skyfall.
Okay.
So wait, you didn't count Quinception?
That's Greenlight.
It stars
only. It was straight to DVD.
It stars only Ellen Page. all right, that was games. Okay, fun games always.
All right.
Let's talk about what we're going to talk about next week. Next week, finally, Total Recall comes out, starring Colin Farrell and a lot of white people. No, Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell and Jessica Biel and Kate Beckinsale. Yeah, there's a lot of white people, opposed to the original, which
is
a little
more racially. Yeah, John Cho.
Oh, yeah, and John Cho, as guy that gets killed in Total Recall Labs.
First 10 minutes.
Total Recall comes out next weekend. We should predict the box office for that. Let's see. What could we think Total Recall could do? I'm trying to think of what to compare it to in terms of movies that made money in this time. I will say that The Bourne Legacy was originally going to come out at the same time, but that's been moved back a week, so.
Yeah. What else comes out this coming weekend?
This coming weekend, you have Total Recall, Diary of a Wimpy Kid 3, and The Baby Makers, which I think that's the Olivia Munn movie that has, like, the Broken Lizard guys. The Broken Lizard guys do that movie. Okay. Yeah, that's that one. Let's see. It's a, you know, it's a remake, sci-fi movie, Colin Farrell, summer.
Rated R?
No, it's rated PG-13. So that's what you can go off. So what place do you think it could get in, and how much money next weekend?
I'll say third, and I'll say like a decent, like, $20 million.
Christian, any prediction?
Yeah, I agree. I think Dark Knight will still be one. Ice Age will probably still be two. And this is PG-13. For some reason, I thought it was R again. But
Didn't make it out there.
It doesn't matter. I still would say it's going to be, like 27. I would give it above 25, below 30 mil.
Let's see. I'll say second with, like, 27. I'll give that 27 million.
Okay.
So let's see how that plays out. See how that plays out for Total Recall, the movie that we've all been anticipating with all our might.
All of it. Yeah.
Okay, so that's gonna do it. That's gonna do it this week for Out Now for Aaron and Abe. But you can find more of my work at my personal blog, thecodeofzeke.com, where you can find all my written movie reviews, as well as at whysoblue.com for Blu-ray reviews. You can also find me at twitter.com/AaronsPS3. Abe?
You can find more fun stuff at walrusmoose.blogspot.com, two animals, walrusmoose.blogspot.com, and twitter.com/walrusmoose.
And Christian, you want to say, I guess, where people can find you, and possibly this will drop next Tuesday. I guess any people in the Southern California area, any, you know, maybe possible shows or something that you might be around?
Yeah, you can find me on the internet if you Google my name. I am on Twitter under Spicer. I have a Twitter account. I'm not sure if everybody can have those yet, but they gave me one. I also have a Facebook account. If you guys have heard of this, I applied and I got in. So congratulations to me. That was a big week. And every Tuesday, pretty much, I'm in San Diego at Lestat's Comedy Night, probably the best stand-up comedy show in the world. It's really actually a really good show. And then August 24th here in Los Angeles, I am starting a new show at the Nerdist Theater in Meltdown Comics, Improv versus Stand-Up, where it's a cage match style show where we take one of the best improv teams around and pit them against three of the best stand-up comedians around, and they get to do what they do best. And then, of course, we flip it on them, and the improv guy, one of them has to do a stand-up, and the stand-ups have to do an improv scene. And then you get to vote. This first show, we have Heather and Miles, who are 29-0 in UCB's cage match, which is unprecedented and record-setting. Then we have the stand-ups are Nicholas Rutherford, who people might know from his online sketch group Good Neighbor, Michael Costa, who had a Comedy Central Presents special this year and has done The Tonight Show, and then Guy Branum, who was head writer for Chelsea Lately and also head writer on G4's X Play before that. And it's going to be awesome. So if you're in the area, you should go. And if you're not in the area, start driving so you can get here.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, I want to see that.
Cool.
29-0.
Wow.
And you can find all the other episodes of Out Now with Aaron and Abe on iTunes at hhwlod.com. That's the podcast network that's lovely to host our podcast, and they have other good shows too, including the Walking Dead TV podcast and the Legion of Dudes and other fun shows that talk about comics and games and movies and stuff. Really cool guys on those sites. The actually, I'm going to be a guest on this week's Walking Dead TV podcast, actually. But outnow.podomatic.com, you can find most of the newest episodes and some exclusives. Outnowpodcast@gmail.com, feel free to email us there with any questions and concerns about whether or not The Dark Knight Rises should be seen as opposed to Step Up. I mean, we will answer that question immediately. We'll you know, if you just, you're like, oh, what did Aaron A have to say about these two movies that I want to see right now? Brah! You're like typing that into the keyboard, it says brah! Like, we'll see. We'll make sure to set you straight. And of course, facebook.com/outnowpodcast and twitter.com/outnow_podcast. You can find all the latest updates on the shows and various other things that we constantly put up, and, you know, keep people in the loop on what's going on with Out Now. So, Christian Spicer, thank you for coming on today. That was fun.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast.
Great. And yeah, until next time, so long.
And goodbye.
Step by step, day by day.
Colin Farrell and a lot of white people. No, Colin Farrell.